Rise.
Matthew 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Excellent. Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone else as well. That's loud, isn't it? So the Lord's Prayer, I just think it's really exciting that we get to unpack it together as a church over the next few weeks. And I'm not actually going to mark up that tally, because I'm hoping that you're marking up your tallies or in your head as well. And maybe a different challenge would have been how many times the words Lord's Prayer are said together. Because I think we're in the 40s already, I think. So it's let's count how many times the Lord's Prayer is said in one. But we're going to spend, as I say, today, now, here and now, I'm going to spend just a few minutes unpacking the first four words of the Lord's Prayer. So what are the first four words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, indeed. Our Father in heaven. Well done. Give yourself a round of applause. Okay, it's great. Well done. Okay, it's good we know. Okay, these four words are a statement about who we are praying to. They're a reminder that it is God, our Father in heaven, that we are praying to. And when we start our prayer this way, just as Jesus taught us to, we're reminded of a few important things. Well, three important things, I think, okay? First of all, our Father reminds us that God is like a loving parent. Think for a moment about how much a parent loves their child. As a child, think about how much your parents love you. They care for them, protect them, guide them, want the best for them. And when we call God our Father, we recognize that God cares for us, he protects us, he guides us, and wants the best for us, each of us too. God loves us so deeply and calls us his children. How awesome is that, that we are called by God his children. He's already always ready to listen to us and help us, just like hopefully a parent would too. And unlike the love that humans give, God's love is perfect and never ending. So secondly, notice it says, our Father, not my Father. I thought this was really important, actually. You see, the word our might be small, but it's powerful because it means that everyone who prays this prayer is part of a big family. We are all God's children. As one congregation here today, the 9 o'clock and the 10:30, okay, we are brothers and sisters, all praying the same prayer to our Father. We're part of a community, a family who can turn to God together. We're part of a bigger worldwide family too, but as we look here and now, we are all family. And this means that we can pray not only for ourselves, but also for each other. I think that's really important that we realise that as well. When we pray for each other, we show love and support to one another. And it also helps to remind us that we are not alone, because we can feel alone. Even though God is there with us, it can often feel lonesome, but God is there, and let's support each other as well. Our Father, not my Father. And thirdly, it reminds us, our Father in heaven, that God is in heaven. And saying those two words as a part of these first four words of the Lord's Prayer tells us that God is greater than we can all imagine. Heaven is a wonderful, perfect place where God reigns in majesty. It's a place that we know exists because God promises it does through his word. Yet, none of us can fully know what it will be like because we're not there yet. But I think that this helps to remind us, certainly does me, that God is in control. He sees the bigger picture. He knows what's best for us, back to that loving parent as well, even when we don't understand. That's the thing about kids, isn't it? We know what, as parents, okay, or as adults, we usually know what's best for them, okay? But it's really hard to understand. And even, I suppose, looking to others, it's hard to understand sometimes what is best. But God knows what's best for us, okay? And even when we don't understand. So let's think about this in a different way. Right, imagine you're on a playground, okay? We've got a big playground out there, okay? But your parent is watching over you. As a child, your parent is watching over you. You feel safe because you know they're there, looking out for you. They know when you need help. And they cheer you on when you try something new. I'll always remember when Ewan and Benji first went on the playground and they ventured over like the tippy bridge and things like that. And it's just like, wow, okay? But you're there for them as well. You're like, oh, they're going to fall. But, you know, you're there watching out for them. But God is like that parent too. That he knows when we need help and he cheers us on when we try something new. God is always with us, watching over us from his throne in heaven. We can talk to him anytime, knowing that he loves us, he listens to us, and he cares for us. And I think we know these things, or maybe we just need to be reminded this morning. We can talk to him anytime, knowing he loves us, listens to us, and cares for us. And so I'm hoping that these three points have helped us to unpack these four words just a little bit. Every time we start the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven helps remind us of God's incredible unconditional love for each one of us. Our connection to one another as children of God and being a part of his family, and God's powerful heavenly perspective as well. It all reminds us of who God is, and when we grasp that, we can bring all the rest of the prayer to him as well. But Manda's now going to unpack the next four words of the prayer that Jesus taught us. Thanks, Manda.
Thank you, Gary. Brilliant. So Gary's looked at the beginning and helped us to see who we are praying to, our Father in heaven. And as he said, how wonderful that we are God's dearly loved children and we're able to come to him in prayer. And thank you again, John, for bringing us our reading from Matthew's Gospel. And when we look in the Bible at the Lord's Prayer, we clearly see that Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. It says, he says to them, Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. But interestingly, if we also look in Luke's gospel, there's the account of Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer, but we see firstly that the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. And as a church, as I've already really said this morning, with our two congregations coming together this summer, I hope and pray that we will cry out, Lord, teach us to pray. So, we've seen who we are praying to, and then Jesus shows his disciples where to start in their praying. Where should we start? Hallowed be your name. Now, just to interject here with a story, there was a lovely Christian family sitting around their table having lunch, and the conversation progressed to talking about God. The youngest member of a family, the little boy, contributes saying, I know what God's name is. Parents look at each other and think, oh, what they've been teaching them in Sunday school. Great, but also a little bit like, what's he going to say now? And he confidently says, God's name is Harold, because we pray every day, Harold be your name. Well, it may be that that's a made-up story, but in some ways it'd be understandable. The word hallowed isn't often used in our everyday conversation. So what that child, if they existed, did was try and work out, well, what was being said? And what is being said? What does it mean? We can ask that today. Jesus clearly teaches that when we pray, where should we begin? Hallowed be your name. Hallowed means to adore, to worship, to praise. If we're asking the Lord to teach us to pray, we hear his response, start in worship, start in praise. Just like Amanda told us, wasn't that brilliant, going through each bit of the Lord's Prayer and what it helped her pray? And she said when she gets to "Hallowed be your name," it prompts her to worship and praise. It's so important to start our prayers praising God. As Mel said to us, it wouldn't be right to ask our Father for things, our daily bread, our every need, without saying please. And Jesus is saying it's not right to come to God with our prayers before we have praised, worshipped, and adored him, until we've hallowed him. Now, there have been a few years bandied about this morning, but when I became a Christian, I've committed my life to Jesus. I was at university, and it was back in 1987. And I am so grateful that people helped me to grow as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of him. And I'm thankful that people helped me learn to pray. And taking the model of the Lord's Prayer, people shared with me the acronym ACTS. If we could put that on the screen, Jude, that's great. A-C-T-S, a structure of prayer, just like the Lord's Prayer is a structure. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication, that's asking for our needs. Where does it start? Acts, the letter A, adoration, adoring God, hallowing him, praising God, hallowed be your name. So just finally then, why? Why should we start with praise? Firstly, because he is worthy. And because when we praise, it lifts our eyes to God and our focus on him. When we look at God and see more of who he is, we know what he's capable of. He is the one for whom nothing is impossible. So we come in adoration, like we praise you. You are faithful. We thank you, you created all things. We know you're our rock. We declare that you are good, you are kind, your love endures forever. Hallowing God, we can use statements from the Bible and truths that we know in our lives. Coming in adoration and praise and seeing who God is enables us to come in deep trust. If we really see who he is, we'll have enlarged faith and know he can answer our prayers. Our prayer for his kingdom to come. Prayers for our daily bread. Prayers for forgiveness of our sins. Why do we come in praise? Well, secondly, I felt God saying that when we come in praise and worship, when we come under his gaze, we see who he is, but we also see who we are, his dearly loved children. He sees us. I was sent a lovely text this week. As you know, it's been one thing after another for us, and a local church leader got in touch, and I asked him to pray for me, and he wrote this: "Manda, God sees you, and there's nothing God sees that he doesn't also care for." I felt there were going to be people here today who needed to hear this. He sees you, and there's nothing God sees that he doesn't also care for. We see who God is, but we see who we are in relation to him. And this enables us to bring our cares to him because he cares for us. So where should we begin? Hallowed be your name. We are to be true worshippers with eyes only for the Lord. For those that were here last week, Marcus brought our sermon series on David to a close by looking at David, the worshipper. Remember that David had eyes only for God. And that's what we are to be like too. And the Lord's Prayer helps us with this. Our starting point in prayer is eyes only for God, praising him, seeing who he is, and in light of that, seeing who we are. So, may you repeat after me: Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, hallowed be your name. Well, we're going to hallow and praise him now in our next song, where we're going to sing of the goodness of God. Would you please stand to sing?